Good afternoon, everybody. Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, where you can bet on exactly that. The Pittsburgh Steelers to win the AFC North. They are a 5-1 long shot. Gronk loving it. Gronk can't get enough of it. Telling Kay Adams on her hit show that that is his pick to win the AFC North. Little known fact. Actually, that's a lie. I think everybody knows it, and that's why I've heard it other places. No team has ever won the AFC North in back-to-back-to-back years. So take that, Tom Amansky. The Baltimore Ravens are facing that historical uphill battle in 2025 to be the first three-peat champ.
Do you think that the Steelers are the biggest threat to them externally?
I know you're not, because when you heard Gronkowski say that before the show, I believe you went, "Oh, no, 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 no," was the way it sounded.
I made it sound like my family was being taken from me by force.
Donnie, would you agree with my summation of how I did that? The noise he made, the way he said no?
I think you got a little bit carried away there, but he was not.
You sounded like Flo Rida on Xanax. Everybody get no.
It wasn't
no,
a no.
No
it
no.
was a oh no. Oh,
no, you said, no. "Hey, Chris, did you hear Gronk said that the Steelers were going to win the division?" And I said, "No."
It was more drawn out than that.
I went, "No."
But you said no multiple times.
Well, that was just an answer to whether or not I had heard it. Do I agree with Gronk? Also no. Man, Gronk falling into the same trap that a lot of people in the national media fall into.
What's that?
Just blindly say if you take player X from bad organization Y and plug him into that Steelers winning culture, it's just like planting a seed in some rich soil and it's going to grow.
But that is true, though. The Steelers do have they're winning. They do have a winning culture compared to the Jets. It's not close. The Jets haven't won a playoff game since 2010.
I believe each team's last appearance in an AFC. No, the Steelers did have that one where they got their doors blown off. I always forget about that one in New England. Steelers really are not appreciably better when it comes to playoff wins than the Jets since 2010. What do they have, two or three more total?
How many more playoff wins do they have since the Jets in 2010? Yeah, they have three more.
Yeah, okay. So divide
that's triple. That's a lot more.
It's one every 4 years more. Wow, yeah. Great job. Cool, guys.
Man, you chose violence today.
I just think that it's like a – I don't think that it's a – Gronk is not on there either to, like, break down the X's and O's and tell you why and tell you in the, you know, the analytical numbers. He's there to try to entertain on Kay Adams' show. And I think that's just, like, spinning the hits. He goes, I went there my senior year of high school. Like, there's some self-awareness there that he knows how absurd that sounds.
Well, I'll put your feet to the fire. We've been asking our experts and listeners all week to give a Steelers record prediction. What's yours for 2025?
Do you want to do this now instead of next week?
Yeah.
Probably 10-7.
10-7?
9-8 or 10-7.
Well, can you pick one?
I will go in the low end. I'll go 9-8.
9-8.
Yeah.
Will they make the playoffs?
Yes. They will somehow drag their carcass in as the seventh seed. But even as I say that, I probably have to give them 10-7. Switch it. 10-7, make the playoffs, destroyed in the wild card round.
Not even just a loss. You're going to go with destroyed.
I think beat by more than one score, which in the NFL, where most point spreads are under one touchdown or under 8 points, I think constitutes getting beat up pretty
good. So my follow-up question is, if you're willing to go as far as a double-digit win season, why are you so quick to dismiss them as a team that can win the division? Why is that such a far-fetched idea? The Ravens play the toughest schedule in the division. Their extra games that no one else, Bengals, Steelers, or Browns, are playing this year are at Kansas City and the Rams. I think there's probably one extra loss in there.
Okay.
In one of those two games. You have, I think, still some questions about wide receiver, questions about offensive line there, questions about how good their linebackers are other than Roquan Smith. They gave Matabuke a big deal. He didn't really not play up to it last year. Hayward outplayed him big time. I don't think he finished on any of the all-pro lists. Just had a ho-hum season by his standards.
Okay.
Their leading sacker was Kyle Van Noy, who I think is the same age as you and me.
Okay.
So there's question about where they get their pass rush from. And Lamar Jackson played last year 100% healthy in given his style of play, I think it's fair to think they might miss him for at least a game or two this year. So I guess the reason why I'm not poo-pooing Rob Gronkowski is because I don't think that the team that is picked to win the division by most experts is far and away better than the rest of the
division. Are the Steelers the next best team in the division behind them? If they are the best, I don't even know if you're going to acknowledge them as the best.
The odds makers here say no. They have the Bengals
at plus
260.
No, that's a dodge.
It's not a dodge. It's me just laying out the facts first.
Okay, now give me your opinion.
I think the Bengals are better. I think a team that has a quarterback that threw for 43 touchdowns last year, and
that ultimately did handle all of their offseason business, even if they got ripped for it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like when Ben was in his prime, they missed the playoffs two straight years. They missed it in 12 and 13. They came back in 14 and won the division.
They're going to benefit, too, from missing the playoffs and having an easier schedule.
It's hard for me to imagine, even for an organization like the Bengals that gets a lot of things wrong, it's hard for me to picture that quarterback who's that good with Higgins and Chase still there is going to miss the playoffs three straight years. I have a hard time.
I mean, they're playing
reconciling
the Browns.
That.
I think they have a very good chance to start 2-0 because they have the
and
Browns
they play
on the
their
road
guys in the preseason,
and they have the Jags at home. And I think the Jags are going to be improved. But I think if Burrow and all those guys are healthy, I like the fact that they got Reisner, who I think is going to help them solidify their offensive line depth wise even more.
Yeah,
I think they have the best quarterback running, even with Derrick Henry being in Baltimore. Like, if you ask me to take a set of weapons, I would give them a very narrow edge over the Ravens when it comes to backs, receivers, quarterback.
The Ravens' win total here at the Rivers is 11.5, and you've got the Steelers at 10. So that's not that far off from Baltimore.
Yeah, part of my...
When you look at it that way.
Part of my...
And you were so dismissive of the Steelers.
I'm sorry,
having any shot.
I just did a double take. A very famous television star walked by us just now.
Yeah, that's Corey Graves from WWE.
Yeah, very famous television star, and they were he and his buddy.
Did they recognize us?
Yeah, they did.
Why didn't they come over and say hi?
I think they knew that we were in the middle of a segment. It was a Troy Beck, man of the man of much famous chicken around town.
Does he schlep it?
I don't think he schleps it. He serves it up.
Oh.
But he's making very delicious chicken sandwiches. He and Corey are just carousing about the casino.
Donnie, whose side are you more on here in this discussion, that it's not that far-fetched or that it's very far-fetched what Gronkowski said?
Well, I mean, I don't want to sound as negative as Chris, but I just think it's more because I feel as if the Ravens are going to be really, really good. Like, I think they're going to win, like, 14 games.
Holy crap.
I think they're going to be like the one seed
right
in the AFC.
Wrong. Yeah, I think that I would – I don't know if I'm going to hammer the over on 11.5 wins, but I'd feel decent about it.
I mean, I just wonder now, Donnie, having said that, has that turned into a prevailing thought among Steelers fans? Because for years it wasn't. Even when Lamar Jackson was winning MVPs, it was he can't win the big game.
Don't
he
you think the way he handled the Steelers is what changed here?
Thank you for making the point that I was about to make.
You do that to me once in a while.
I know. I was trying to set it up, though. Yeah. Have attitudes changed because in December and then January, we've got back-to-back games where Lamar Jackson has schooled the Steelers, and he had never done it before. He was bad against them. He didn't look like an MVP. He barely looked like a starting quarterback. We've run the passer rating numbers. His passer rating said he turned into Mitch Trubisky against the Steelers until those last two games in the playoffs and then late in the regular season where Russell Wilson had the fumble and everything else, the pick six in that game. So to hear Donnie say that he thinks that there's this massive gulf now between the Steelers and Ravens, more so in Donnie's world because the Ravens are just that elite of a team, I think I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I kind of am. I feel like that is a reaction to Baltimore wasn't a hollow double-digit win team last year. They played you for all the marbles and they whooped your ass. And I guess I can understand if Steelers fans now go into this season thinking like, yeah, I have to finally give the Ravens their credit, they're much better than
us.
If
you thought there was a mental edge that the Steelers had over Lamar Jackson
and I did
that
think
superseded
that.
Everything, then I didn't believe that in the first place. but it was eradicated.
But you did say you started to come around to that. After the game they lost here, you said, I did not want to believe that, but now it's just mounting evidence.
I thought that there was a situation where he had lost a bunch of games in a very weird fashion, and the fact that he lost one last year to start the season or early in the season in similarly just kind of head-scratching manner, and the Steelers, I think, made him look pretty bad in that game, started to mount the evidence. But then everybody who ended up saying, hey, wait till he actually plays them twice in the same season. He hardly ever does that. He gets a chance to come back around at them. You'll see what happens then. They were proven right. He delivered an ass-whooping. I think the Steelers' problem here is they could be a team that wins 10 games and once again be stuck in a division with a pair of quarterbacks on teams that could easily win the MVP award.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you a follow-up question off of that. Is it a testament to Tomlin that he wins 10 games in a division with those two quarterbacks when he doesn't have those guys?
No, I don't think it is. Because I think Mike's biggest flaw is that he continues to think he can try to be a 10-game winner or maybe win 11 games and figure it out and get into the single elimination tournament. And it's like he's missing the forest for the trees here. He should be trying to find a quarterback that can stack up to those guys in a true arms race. Instead, he would rather try to do it his way. And while his way might beat the Bengals once this season, might even beat the Ravens again randomly this season, I wouldn't bet on it, especially in the case of Baltimore, and it leaves them vulnerable in the playoffs. So no, like I cannot give him short-term or small-picture credit for something when I think it hurts the team's overall approach in the big picture.
Hello, this is Hall of Famer Dick LeBeau, and you're listening to the number one sports talk show in Pittsburgh, the PM Team, with Pony Mueller and Donnie Football. Go Steelers.
Thanks, Dick. We are live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. You can listen to us wherever you are, whenever you want, on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Even though we're not in studio, you can still watch on the YouTube page. Segment is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Hitchhiker Brewing's Bane of Existence. Supports breakthrough T1D for type 1 diabetes research. Rob Gronkowski picking the Steelers to win the AFC North. Gronk did point out in his clip that he spent 1 year here at Woodland Hills.
One of the oddest senior year transfer decisions imaginable because Woodland Hills was just then discovering the forward pass. They just had Gronk hang out there and block kids, like, into the cheerleading section or, like, into the fences surrounding these fields, and that was enough to get a big full ride to Arizona.
Mike White, as many have done this year because of 2025, have put out lists that rank things from 2000 to 2024, the first 25 quarter century years.
Yeah. Yep.
And so he put out today his top 10 high school football players
from that period. Pryor's got to be number one.
Hold on. And he did point out, like, look, I didn't put Gronkowski on this list because he was only here for 1 year. Here is the list 10 to 1.
Eugene Jarvis on there, I wonder?
Hold your horses, Malzi. Number 10, I scrolled down too far. Number 10, Phil Jurkovec.
Huge numbers. I mean, obviously the college career did not turn into what people thought it would. Humongous numbers, though. At a bigger school than Pryor, so I understand that.
Over 5,000 total yards his senior year.
He was a freak.
4,000 passing, over 1,200 rushing.
Yeah, he was a freak show at a big school.
Didn't Dunlap tweet out that he was going to be the next Big Ben?
I cannot for sure say that that happened.
Okay. It was something similar to that. I don't know if you brought up Ben's name, but he did say that Steelers should draft him once he was eligible.
And then I think he tried to ply his trade as a tight end, maybe even in the UFL.
Yeah, it just never worked out.
Great high school talent, though. Steve Breston, 9.
Surprised,
seems a little low to me.
Surprised he's low.
Yep.
I mean, my dad rarely, he would go to some high school games at North Hills just to watch if he thought there was a big-name player coming around.
And he played quarterback there, Chris.
He did. And I'll never forget him just saying, I saw the difference between big-time Division I speed and Division II or III speed tonight.
I can't wait to see the guys at the top of the list because here's 8. Rushel Shell. He still holds the state record with 9,078 rushing yards. He set a national record with 39 consecutive 100-yard games.
Can I give you a take there, and it doesn't jibe with the Breston one because Steve went on to have a nice little career in the NFL. I feel like because Shell's career never quite turned out anywhere close to what the high school performance would have suggested, that it almost, Mike's almost dinging him for that. But in high school, the guy was a machine.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Brian Davis at Wash High still gets brought up. The guy did nothing in college or the NFL. So I don't understand why Shell wouldn't be higher. But again, Mike White watches all these things, and I don't. So
I know,
his opinion means a lot more than mine.
There's one other, there's a name I'm wondering if I'm going to hear in these next seven you call that I actually think probably would not warrant being on there, but because of this person's post-high school exploits, might be.
Sean Lee, 7.
Okay.
He played running back at Upper St. Clair, too.
Puz should be ahead of him, then.
He is. He's 6. He's the next guy. Another Hopewell standout. State title senior year. 3,000 yards over 2 years as a running back there.
Mm-hmm. He's His 6. Brother Stan was a hell of a player, too. Stan Puzlesny.
Number 5, Tyler Pelko.
Okay. All right, hold on.
Dual threat at West Allegheny, passed for 1,800, rushed for 629, also had 101 tackles and 7 picks. Holy moly.
Oh, Tyler was a tough SOB. I mean, still probably is, and could have played safety in college. All right, so I have – hold on, Neil.
He's 5.
I have – of the last 4, I have 3 names that I feel like inarguably, unequivocally, have to be on this list based on their high school exploits.
Mm-hmm.
And I could – easily make a case that I have 4 written down here that should get that similar treatment. I'll show you the 3 names.
Don't show it to me yet.
Okay.
Darrell Revis is 4.
Okay, he was one of the 4 I had. I mean, the guy had one of the legendary state title game performances I've ever seen.
That's what he said here. He also had one of the greatest state championship
he
performances
had like 5
in
touchdowns,
PIAA
I think.
History. Doesn't say what he did in the game. That was just
I remember
Mike's
him having like 5
editorial.
Touchdowns, and it was like he had one rushing. He threw one, something goofy like that, one of those like Lemieux-style games, but for football.
Tyler Boyd's 3.
He was another name I had.
He was 48-0 in his 3 years as a starter at Clairton. 5,755 rushing yards. He played running back, quarterback, receiver, and defensive back. Played 4 years there.
I know who number 1's going to be, and now I'm racking my brain to slot in somebody between Boyd and the person I know has to be number 1.
Number 2 is Aaron Donald.
Okay, I'm going to say something here. This was what I was concerned about. Aaron Donald has gone on, and everybody knows this, to have had a terrific career at Pitt, to have somehow had an even better career in the pros, like continually leveling up.
Yep.
He is, as I have gone on record as saying many times, I think I can make a compelling case he's the greatest defensive player ever in the NFL. Full stop, no qualifiers. He was a 3-star recruit coming out of Penn Hills. He's a classic case of a guy who kept getting better and better and better.
I mean, look at his picture at Penn Hills that they posted.
I know.
On the Post-Gazette.
He looks like a kid.
He really does.
He looks like a kid. He doesn't look like the freak show that he became in terms of his physicality and how yoked he was. Yoked, Myron Cope. If this is a high school list, I wouldn't put him above pretty much any of these guys because he was not nearly as ballyhooed.
And number one's obviously Terrell Pryor, one of the greatest high school football players of all time, regardless of era, regardless of area.
If we are doing this, because like this was kind of inconsistent, Pryor did not obviously have some great pro career. It was kind of wild that he turned himself into a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL after not being a quarterback. But like if we are trying to keep this steady and turning it into who was great as a high school player around here, and that's what Mike is rating,
yeah.
Wouldn't Doran have a case over a guy like Donald? Wouldn't a guy like Lucas Nix? Wouldn't some offensive linemen like Dorian Johnson, like 5-star dudes, have a case? Seriously, I'm asking that honestly.
I'm not sure because...
And without malice either.
I didn't watch high school football, or I didn't know high school football in Pittsburgh around then. Were those, Doran obviously put up big numbers, so he's different, but the other guys, were they
like
Nix
was a
dominant recruits
yes,
because of just
Lucas,
potential, or do they actually
I mean,
put
Lucas
up huge
Nix
numbers?
Was a house dude, and he was an offensive lineman. And that's hard to get offensive linemen on a list like this, but some of these other players, I mean, there were kids at Central who ended up going to like MAC schools who put up like crazy, crazy numbers. I mentioned Eugene Jarvis, who was like 5'7", but anyone that played against the guy would tell you he was an absolute demon.
Donnie, what's your reaction to this list?
I do think Chris brings up a fair point because it is true. Like there were guys that had fantastic high school careers. They lived up to a 4- or 5-star status, and Aaron Donald just became a guy who had, what, 3 – like notable college offers, one of them obviously being Pitt, who
I thought he had Mac offers otherwise, too.
Yeah, he had like a few Mac ones, and then Pitt was like the biggie for him. And then he just like turned into an all-time great player. So that's where like I would have him bumped down on the list. If it's just about high school success, which it obviously is, because if it wasn't, he would be number one over everybody. But I agreed with pretty much every syllable and half syllable you said, Malzy.
Donald's four scholarship offers out of Penn Hills were Pitt, Rutgers, Akron, and Toledo. That's it.
I'm just if you're gonna have Aaron that high on this list, I refuse to believe it's not influenced by what he continued to do at Pitt and then in the pros. You might as well just put him number one then.
And then you put Revis too.
You put him one, you put Revis two. You probably, if we're basing it on this, you can keep Boyd three, I think. Breston and Puz, maybe Puz jumps into the top five.
I think Sean Lee and Paul Puzlesny had better pro careers than those two receivers you just named, so they'd have to be ahead of those guys. I think so.
What about Baldwin?
But that's doing the opposite of what Chris said. John Baldwin would be if you just strictly do high school exploits and you don't worry about Pitt or the NFL.
I know, but that's just another name that we didn't mention.
Yeah, you're right.
Puz and Lee both had better careers, no doubt, than Breston, who had the 1,000-yard season but you know was otherwise out of the NFL by the time he was 30.
That line is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are a week away from the start of the NFL season. Cowboys and Eagles. We are 10 days away from Steelers Jets. Apparently, in our promotional countdown to the start of Steelers season, vignettes that have played on the station where we talk about some of our favorite Steelers who wore that number.
Yeah.
For 10 today, who could forget San Antonio Holmes?
No. No, come on. Remember the Alamo and remember San Antonio.
That's what I heard through the grapevine.
Well, I mean, I don't know what if that's worse or yesterday it was, it was Marcus Wheaton. Okay, fine, like passable depth receiver. Had some okay years. Chase Claypool, guy who got run out of town on a rail deservedly. And then who was the third
Allen
one?
Allen Robinson,
who looked older than the Crypt Keeper when he was trying to line up and play for the Steelers. What are we doing here?
Our poll question today, do you think the Steelers are serious AFC North contenders? 57% say yes.
I'm surprised nobody's responded with define serious.
Rob Gronkowski picking the Steelers to win the AFC North.
What did he say once upon a time? Yo soy fiesta, I am party. He was trying to talk Spanish.
He also got excited that he scored his 69th career touchdown.
Do you share this opinion? I think Gronkowski, like in terms of business and probably overall, like is much smarter than he tries to come off. And I think it's like part an act, like I'm a dumb guy, ha ha ha. And meanwhile, like there were stories that he had never touched a dime of salary, like well into his career in retirement.
I think it's a put on for sure, the meathead thing.
Yeah, I think he. I'm not saying he's like a Mensa scholar. But or a Mensa member and a Rhodes Scholar, but I think he is much smarter than he chooses to come off.
All right, Jason Mackey, Post-Gazette, 93.7 The Fan host, back with us here. Jason, do you think the Steelers are a serious threat in the AFC North?
I think they're a passable threat. I'm in the Mueller camp of define serious because I can see them finishing second. I cannot see them finishing higher than the Ravens.
Why?
I don't think they have the depth. I think the Ravens are still a better team. They have a better quarterback situation. Their offense is better, and their defense is better. That's not a terribly specific explanation. I just do not see the Steelers as a better team.
So if you had one game to win, you'd rather have Lamar Jackson than Aaron Rodgers?
That's a tough one.
Jason, why are you hesitant? It's actually not a tough one. It's not a tough one. Aaron Rodgers also turns into a complete like corn cob in the playoffs.
Can you let the man answer a question, Chris, and not jump in there? Let the man finish his point. He said it is a tough one.
I'm flabbergasted by both of you even like pausing to consider that would be a question at this juncture.
Well, yes, because as you're saying, they both turn into corn cobs, which is an extremely funny mental picture. But, I mean, that's what gives me pause about Lamar. He hasn't been good in the playoffs, but it's not like I can sit here and say that the 41-year-old has been any better. But I would ultimately take Lamar. I think the chances are better that he figures it out than Aaron Rodgers at this stage.
I'm not trying to do like Lamar Jackson interference here, but in his last four playoff games, in three of the four, he's had a passer rating better than 114.
How did he do against the Bills?
He had a passer rating of 114-4, two touchdowns, and then Mark Andrews dropped one of the easiest passes I've ever seen to lose them that game.
How many fumbles and picks?
He had one interception, okay. Which was also, that one was...
Overthrow.
But one of the two turnovers was not his fault.
Wouldn't you rather bet on the guy with the tools at where they're at now with Lamar Jackson? I mean, that's where it comes down to with me. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, who knows what he's going to look like late in the season? I would rather bet on the guy who's the best athlete in his position. And, I mean, it's just it's an aberration that he hasn't performed in the playoffs. I do think he's going to do it at some point.
I would agree with that. I think it might even happen this year, Jason, and that would make a lot of people here very unhappy. It wouldn't exactly make me happy, but I would be vindicated in my prediction. You know what? Since we're on the topic of the Steelers, we usually do this at the end of interviews, but I have other stuff I'd like to ask you about too. Can you give us your formal Steelers record and season prediction, how you think it shakes out, what their record is, and how they fare if they, in fact, make the playoffs, according to Jason Mackey? This goes into a Google document, so you will be lumped in with many other people offering this same prediction.
All right, I like it. I'm going to go one game better than last year. I'm going to go 11-6. I actually think Rodgers is decent, better than we expect. I think they finished the season okay. I don't think there's any sort of cratering or collapsing down the stretch. I think they win a playoff game. I don't know against whom, but I think they bow out at that point. I think 11-6 in a playoff win, and some of the heat is taken out of the Tomlin kitchen.
Okay, my follow-up on that is, based on what Aaron Rodgers said this week about his future, do you think he's back as Steelers quarterback in 2026 if that's the season they have?
I know, man. I mean, I'm going to say he still calls it. I'm going to say that it's just enough's enough and they don't have him back. But, I mean,
enough's enough. If you go 11-6 and you're in the final eight of the NFL,
know,
it doesn't really
42.
Seem like you want to kick the guy out the door.
Well, he'll be
41 now.
I know. That's how it happens, 41 to 42, and then he'll be 43 the year after that. I don't think he's going to want to do it again. I think it's going to be enough. I think it's going to be enough for him. An age 43 season, I don't see it, man.
Brady went to 45, and if he has fun.
He's not Brady. Yeah, I think it's a different team, a different offense. I think the Steelers probably want to go in a different direction. I don't think they're going to be sitting there groveling, saying, please come back, please come back. Like, no, they know they need their franchise guy. This is a Band-Aid.
I don't know, man.
If
they can get him for $13 million in 2026 and
well,
then,
if he
then
has
draft
a, good enough,
a guy.
Hold on. If he has a good enough season to come back and he plays well enough, he'll want more money.
Will he?
Yes.
He's made more money than any quarterback, I think, other than Matthew Stafford.
That's not
going to
stop
history.
Him from still wanting to be paid a little bit more money for his efforts, I would say.
Maybe he goes the
what
Brady route.
What about the ego? What about the ego play, though? Think about that. Like, if Rodgers and Tomlin work this out together, they're absolutely running the bromance back. Like, anything that we're talking about goes out the window, right? Like, whether it makes – I don't know. That's what makes me think differently about it. Like, it's going to go so well if it does. Like, they're going to be in love with themselves for making this happen. They'll probably want to do it again.
Jeez.
Jason, let me flip over to baseball briefly. Yes, Pony? You looked at me quizzically.
Well, yes, because there's a baseball game going on right now, so I was surprised that you were going to take it that direction, but please continue.
I just wanted to ask him one brief thing. If he feels like their approach through two games with Bubba Chandler has been validated by the fact that he's been kicking ass, that's all.
Yeah, I'm good with bringing him up here as a reliever, Chris. I liked it when they said that's what they were going to do. I just don't like... You know, I feel like part of it's validating, and I think part of it's invalidating. Like, part of it, you know, I look back at early in the season, and I think, why wasn't he up here? Like, this is what we could have had in Pittsburgh, but I don't know. He didn't do his part. He left the door open to it by not pitching well in Indianapolis, so I can't criticize it too much. I think he's going to be starting before too long. If he keeps pitching like this, I bet he makes one more start and then goes into one more appearance out of the bullpen and then goes into the rotation. You can't keep running that out of the bullpen. There's so much they need to see.
All right, so put Jason Mackey at the top of our list. He has offered up the most optimistic Steelers prediction of any guest or insider we have on the show.
Other than our guy Stoner Johnny and Farrell, who said they will go 13-4 and win it all this year.
But Jason, who likes to attack my predictions on social media, did have the Pirates going 83-79 this year.
Wait, why are you bringing up the Pirates now?
Oh, my bad.
Well, Tony's just giving me a little body blow, and I deserve it. That's all right.
We'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Yep.
You're right. I did violate my own gag order.
Sorry, I've got to call balls and strikes here. You know, I just got to be an honest broker on this show.
All right, coming up next, we'll continue to offer up some predictions on the Steelers. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of college football and banana ball because we'll be at Mike's Beer Bar as that craziness starts tomorrow here in Pittsburgh. I was on Federal Street today picking up it was the last day to get your Skeens bobbleheads.
Okay.
So I still had vouchers for that, and I figured if I didn't do it, I'd be, you know.
Snooze, you lose.
Well, I'd just be wasting
a voucher.
Hundreds of dollars, too. I mean, they're
sure
valuable, either sentimentally to me or if I actually tried to sell them. And they had tents out selling Savannah Bananas merchandise right outside the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And at 1 o'clock today on a Thursday, I guess this lunch hour so people can find a time to break, there was a line of like 20 people to get stuff.
Really?
Yeah. There's a ton of interest in this game tomorrow and
I mean,
Saturday.
They sell out pretty much everywhere they go, the Savannah Bananas.
And there's all kinds of...
They're printing money, as far as I can tell.
And there's intrigue over who the guest bananas are going to be. I've heard A.J. Burnett might make an appearance.
I find the entire concept fascinating in this sense. Everyone says that the games are, like, real, and they, like, kind of work some of this entertainment product stuff in, but that they're actually, like, playing to win in the end.
Yeah.
That seems a lot easier to do in a sport like basketball with the Globetrotters, where theoretically the Generals were trying to win. They were just hopelessly outmatched from a legitimate talent perspective every time.
Uh-huh.
I have a harder time envisioning it, so I can't wait to kind of see it in action, how they pull that off in a baseball game.
Yeah.
I guess. That's kind of where I zero out on this.
I've heard some big names. We'll see if it happens.
I think you're using a very specific adjective there for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Donnie, are you going to go?
Mm-hmm. I will not.
Oh, you've that big high school football.
Yes. Yes,
matchup tomorrow. More stars in terms of recruiting stars in a high school football game and like the history of the Whippeal tomorrow night.
Which one is this?
Pine Richland versus Central Catholic, yeah.
We got a lot of scholarships getting handed out.
And NIL dollars, too, now. Don't forget about NIL. People have come on our station and said,
let's talk about this right now.
About.
People had their eyes on NIL just like you had your eyes on China.
The quarterback at Central is a Syracuse recruit.
What's the kid's name?
Donnie? You know? I should probably get to know him.
It's not that Peyton Wehner kid. He graduated a while ago.
Would I
be
breaking NCAA rules if I started like taking the kid out to dinner and stuff?
Are there any rules anymore? Does the NCAA do anything? Like
Owen Herrick.
Owen Herrick, okay. If you just did that, what's somebody going to do? Say I'm part of the collective.
What if I paid him to be my personal intern on the show?
But all it was he got to sit there and, like, screw around.
I don't know.
He'd, like, just hang out and do his thing, and you'd be like, hey, let's check in with the intern. What's going on? What's your name again?
Yeah.
Would you ever...
I heard he's outstanding.
Could you ever see yourself, like, if you got to a point financially where you felt like you could make these contributions, maybe you're at that point now, actually donating to a Syracuse collective to get a player there?
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Have you already done that?
No, but I've tried.
Why aren't Nick and Danny using their personal largesse?
I've inquired about that.
I would just imagine, like, Nick would want to flex like that so hard, he'd want to be like, yeah, I paid, like, you know, $200,000 to get this kid to come here.
I've said to him, you know, McAfee's doing all this stuff for West Virginia. When are you going to pick up the
slack? When are you going to pony up here?
Yeah.
Where did Stephen A. Smith go?
He went to Winston-Salem State.
Hard to...
And claimed he made the basketball team because he had a Mulsey scrimmage where there was a pickup game against Winston-Salem State players and made like 15 threes.
And just they put him on the team right there.
Automatically, yeah.
Huh.